Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello. And welcome back to The Shift. It's Dez here, and it's hump day. It's time for The Shift every Wednesday. Thanks for being with us. Even if it's not Wednesday for you, there's no penalty for listening later in the week. Myself and Katie have a great ep coming up for you guys. We're focusing on long-term relationships. We got two married comics who are in both happily married, monogamous relationships, and we feel like that's an area that we've been neglecting on this podcast, probably due to a lack of experience on both of your co-hosts' part. I have been in a long-term relationship, but not for a while. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. We're definitely talking about that today. Two great comics, Mike Cannon, Irish-American comic, from Rockland County, New York, and Alexis Guerreras from Newark, Newark, New Jersey, not far from New York. You may or may not be familiar with that due to the airport or the original home of Tony Soprano in the Sopranos. Anyway, we discuss it at length early on. In fact, we digress a little early on. So be prepared for that. We don't really get into the meat of the conversation for quite a few minutes. Also, we recorded live at the Olive Tree, which is the upstairs cafe over the Comedy Cellar. So it's quite a lot of activity, noise, background noise. So brings a bit of energy, but just be aware of that. And I mean, that's really it. In case you're wondering, I'm currently in West Hampton Beach, Long Island, or West Hampton Dunes, to be 100% official. Just after a Peloton workout, bought myself a Peloton. Very happy with it, I have to say. So I'll be heading back to my leisure activities after I upload this onto Acast. Anyway, in the interim, this is long-term relationship tips. We're embracing the joys of monogamy, and it's really just a tribute to those that stick it out with each other. So I hope you enjoy. Chat to you at the end. So anyway, guys, welcome to the podcast. Just to give our listeners a sense of place, we're at the Olive Tree at the Comedy Cellar, so we have a little bit of background noise.
Yeah.
A bit of atmosphere.
I like it. It's like a romantic comedy, like a date scene.
That's right. This is a date.
I'll have what she's having.
Which is in Katz's Deli, which I live around the corner, so I always have to say to people, I'm like, Katz's Deli is famous. Like, most people don't know. They're like, really? Is it famous? I was like, yeah, you know, it's where Meg Ryan had the fake. Oh my God, is that where that was? Yeah.
Did they also ever say what the dish was?
I think it was ordered? The vegan salad.
There was no vegans then.
There were no vegans. They weren't allowed.
Was it not a Reuben?
We used to stone them.
Did she get a Reuben?
Oh, I just know that people always go there for the Reubens.
I think people don't even understand the secret of real cats. You tip before you ask for your food, and you get the good cuts.
Oh.
That's why people are like, yo, Katz's ain't good. Now you're cheap, son.
Katz's is good. Anyone who says Katz's isn't good, come on.
It's not the best anymore, but it's good.
No, it's not the best, but I mean, it's a pretty serious sandwich. Have you had one, Mike?
Yeah, I've enjoyed where it quite from? A bit. I'm from here.
Oh, you're from here.
I was born on the Upper West Side, yeah.
Oh, my God. You're actually from the island of Manhattan.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, come the on. Second... You grew up in fucking...
Well, I grew
up...
My parents had an apartment down here on Barrow Street. And then I grew up in Rockland County, though, for like 10 years, but in and around the city because my dad worked in here and my uncles all worked.
Like,
in
I used to stay with my cousins on the Lower East Side. But
so
I'm
you're from Newark.
Born and raised, really, very proud.
Three locals and an immigrant.
Yeah.
A fucking immigrant.
Yeah. And so we've
honestly build that wall.
Okay. I'm already in. Build it. Trap me in here.
If you're worried about her cunt, you have to build a wall on McLean Avenue.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a joke for Rockland County people.
I get it. Honestly, I performed up there. I performed up there. It is wild Irish.
That joke works great when I'm in fucking Rory Dolan's, I can tell you. But guys, that's not the vibe of the podcast.
But Mike, you're Irish American, right?
Yeah, I played Gaelic football too for a long time.
I was gonna ask you played up in Rockland County. Mm-hmm. How old are you?
I'm 34.
But dude, his team destroyed in Ireland, right?
Yeah, we played. So we didn't lose for like 5-6 years in the States. Then we went over to San Francisco to play like the second best team in the country. We made quick work of them. Then we went to Ireland in 2000 when I was like 15, and we played 9 counties and we won 7.
Wow, what was
that's amazing.
So were you the Rockland County team, or were you like the New York team?
Yeah, we were Rockland GAA. But then,
I played Gaelic up there, by the way.
Yeah, we didn't take anybody from like St. Barnabas or anything like that. Like those guys were separate. And
my brother's with the Rangers, and then later on he played with like Kerry and a few other senior teams.
I mean, we used to play.
He probably
Gaelic
played
Park.
Against my brother.
We probably have actually.
Yeah, Mike Bishop.
What are we gonna talk about hurling next?
Sorry.
I mean, honestly, I played hurling for 8 seconds and got hit with the stick, and I was like, "Get the fuck out!"
I saw a guy at a bakery in Galway. Order food, and he put his hand on the whatever the display case, and every finger was pointing in a different way. And I was like, "Dude, you're a hurler, right?" He's like, "Yeah, how'd you know?" I'm like, "Look at your fucking hands."
No, you guys are really up on your Irish knowledge.
He could have killed me. I performed in Ireland like 3 times in the last year. I love Ireland.
But you and your wife love Ireland,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely. By the way, I've got
Katie did a little professional switch it onto the topic.
Yeah, you and your wife. Like $185 worth of jam coming my way. A buddy of mine just went. And he stopped at the jam place for me, buddy.
I love jam.
Oh, you have no idea. I am turning
it's
up.
Such a fun smuggle.
Yeah,
that's
dude.
People are
the lady
like,
won't ship it to the U.S.
Cocaine headed my way.
No, like, buddy, I got
the most unfiltered jam.
Unstepped on jam. It is strawberry and champagne.
No BP.
From County Clare
no
Jam Shop. Shouts to Doolin. County Clare Jam.
Doolin Jam.
Oh, Doolin.
Yo, it really is the greatest jam you'll
all
ever
you gotta do
have.
Is put like a red and white napkin with a rubber band over it and it automatically tastes better. It's like, oh wow, it's a homemade jam.
No man, I went into the lady's house. Her son caught me working on her computer. She asked me to fix her website, and he came in from Toronto, and he was like, who are you? I was like, I'm your mom's friend, with this accent, in the living room. He was not happy.
I'm here to fix her pipes.
Yeah.
Nice. Have you ever had a digestive biscuit?
Yes, I have.
Have
I like
had
the chocolate-covered
jam?
Ones. Oh. No.
No chocolate, but just a plain one with jam. Real
See,
good.
What are they called? Digestives?
Digestives, yeah.
I've been calling them digestives. Wow. Sound a little bit fancy.
Are they just like fiber cakes?
They're like a basic cookie. I don't know how to
describe
them.
They make
your
shit, dude. They got a lot of fiber,
I think
man.
I've had them with tea, right?
Yes.
Yeah, you dip them in. Yeah, I've had not those. Too long. You'll lose it.
Right, so the last question then, where are your people from?
Mayo.
Oh, Mayo.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
Which is weird because I think my grandmother's from there. Her maiden name is Ford. And then Barden is somewhere over there as well. And then my dad's side, Cannon, is from kind of over there. So there is some for sure inbred lines amongst my family. We have some, touch
That's
of sickness.
Fine. Once you have no
touch of the
problems.
A lot of didn't leaves.
The genuine problems of cystic fibrosis is a problem.
Oh, no kidding.
Very high rates of cystic fibrosis in Ireland due to that. You know, that's in the gene pool. And, alcoholism. But
Yeah.
So but you're more than Irish, right?
What's that?
You're more than Irish, no? You're not just Irish.
My dad's dad was English. That's it.
Oh, because you could tan a little bit.
I got a little bit. But some Irish do
Oh,
that.
No. Yeah, my dad tans so well. Oh, my God. Yeah.
My wife's family is like 99% Italian, but there's one Irish. And she's fair with red hair. You've seen her.
Yeah.
She cannot. She goes red back to white. Like, it's crazy.
And she's Italian?
Yeah, she's mostly Italian, but she's got Irish skin and hair.
And then what are you, Guerreras? Is that some sort of Latino?
Yeah. Cuban.
Oh, Cuban.
What filthy lineage is
what? From where in Mexico should your family go back
Spanish
to?
Spanish colony? What Spanish?
About that wall.
Now, who am I hating?
Yeah, Guano.
So, anyway, we have you. We've had a lot of requests from people that listen to our podcast to talk about more long-term relationships. So, Alexis, you're married, right? Are you
married,
both married?
Yeah, both married.
Oh, yeah, you're both married.
He's having a kid. I'm avoiding it.
Oh, you don't have a kid yet?
No kids, no nothing.
So
no pets.
People wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, the secrets to successful long-term relationships. Because we've got a lot of stuff about early relationship stuff, casual sex stuff, just general sex stuff. But we haven't specifically spoken about the secrets. And listen,
we've also both been in extremely long-term relationships, right? Your relationship dates back to when you were 10 years old.
Yeah, literally when we were 10.
What?
But, I mean, my wife and I grew up as neighbors. And like, so...
Play doctor, you know what I mean? Yeah.
But you were just buddies.
I fingered her when we were kids.
Pretty cool.
Dude, number love.
Don't let me hang out. Casually finger your wife years sweet. Before you guys were actually together?
Oh, yeah, in high school. Yeah, we were each other's first everything. And then
really?
we both branched
off. You went
out,
got some experience, and then came back.
How did you convince her to put on a strap-on in high school?
Buddy, it took some muscling. But, you know, I told her it was before the internet, so nobody would know.
So, this is great. So, you guys were first love and all that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And
when you were 10, though, right?
I mean, we dated. Like, we literally were, like, boyfriend and girlfriend, you know, where you meet when you're waiting for the bus and shit like that. Like, I remember my wife wearing a full turquoise Charlotte Hornets starter jacket pullover.
Sweet.
When we were in fifth grade, 10 years old, on the blacktop, waiting for the bus. That was, so it must have been 95.
Wow.
Yeah, and I remember exactly what she looked like. I remember everything about her. It's creepy.
That's the first time you saw her?
That's the first time I saw her, yeah. And then I think the following year, or maybe she moved it, she may have moved fifth grade, because I lived there for 1 year prior to that.
Wow.
And I like kind of knew her a little bit in fourth grade, but you know, you mostly stick to your own class back then.
Yeah.
And then in fifth grade, we kind of commingled, and then, you know.
What
you start
would
dating
you do
outside of your classroom.
If I sang attitude? Yeah. Nice voice on this one, huh?
That's beautiful, man.
So how long were you
together? She was your Winnie, right?
She was, yeah, yeah. Well,
isn't that
and
her
then,
name?
But
yeah.
It didn't end well for them. They didn't make it.
Yeah, they both got fat and didn't have a career.
Well, what's his tits is hosting some new show.
Oh, no, actually, he directed Always Sunny in Philadelphia for like,
oh, really?
Yeah. For like 10 years.
I take it back.
Yeah. And she's like a math genius.
Oh, she was a math genius?
Yeah, she went to like Harvard or some shit.
Yeah,
like MIT.
She did Dancing with the Stars, yeah. And her body is still crazy.
Who are like these people?
She's not the only
you
one.
You never saw Wonder Years?
If you're going to come into our country, you
know,
ingratiate yourself.
This is why Trump is adding a test.
It's actually nothing about her immigrant status. It's to do with her generational status.
Right.
She did not grow up with the Wonder Years.
But don't
Wonder Years. You don't know what that is?
No.
It was not a good show.
It wasn't.
You're
but it
out
was,
of your
but
face.
It wasn't.
It was good. It's not good now.
It was, you
it
know
was
what,
good.
It was
it
an
was
era good. Where you were trapped in front of the TV watching the same
But also
shit.
Incorrect. From now, even somebody who looks at writing TV shows, it's a solid show. Like,
yeah,
the first pilot episode is really great.
I didn't really.
All the baby
real
boomers,
heart.
The baby boomers are having kids. The baby boomers are getting nostalgic. The kids are...
Winnie's brother dies in the pilot. It's heavy immediately. And
I
it's
couldn't
fun,
relate.
And it's nostalgic.
Everybody had
well, of
dads.
Course, it's wow. Super white.
I couldn't relate. Yeah, everybody has dads. Yeah. And I was like, what the fuck is this?
Nobody defected.
This ain't real. Nobody's uncle's wearing a wife beater drinking Dominican beer at noon. Fuck out of here.
In fairness.
Their haircuts take 15 minutes.
Yeah.
In fairness.
No one needs a hanger to start the car. I don't believe it.
There was a severe lack of black eyes on women in that show. If it was touching on real. The realistic baby boomer.
You got racist right at the end.
Yeah. Racist against white.
You said black eyes.
Oh,
not black guys. He thought you said black guys.
No, I thought you were specifically talking about Latinos.
Oh, Latinos. Yeah, no, that's the women beating the men.
No, we own that as well. Yeah.
We're going to talk about Latinos. The women are the dangerous ones.
That's a tale as old as time. Too.
Anyway, this Wonder Years digression is way too long. Poor Katie is sitting here like clueless.
It was a show about a chubby kid who liked an Asian chick.
She Asian?
Yeah.
Who?
Winnie.
No, she was.
She's like Polynesian or something.
No, I think maybe a little Native American in there somewhere.
But wait, can we?
Let's come back.
She's got a dash of impurity.
Wait,
well, let's come back to your.
She shouldn't have been allowed in that neighborhood.
So
we're only kidding, Ireland.
We've lost
them. We're only kidding, Ireland. By the way, this is
Mike.
This is how we start our show.
So Mike. So you guys. Did you got you had sex and everything before you had this temporary?
Yeah, when we were 15. When we were in high school, we slept together, and then you know we kind of broke up, would come back to each other. In high school, we never officially dated, but every time we would have a break from each other's like significant others, we'd you know on
reconvene.
Break, yeah, we'd meet out at a bar and like hook up that night, and like constantly kind of. I would visit her at Syracuse, and she didn't visit me at the time, but
you ever do that neighbor shit of like throwing the rocks at the windows or like.
No, we had AOL Instant Messenger at that point.
So, like, it ruins everything.
Technology was already getting involved. So
yeah.
So when did you guys get back together together?
February 3rd, 2008, when the New York Giants beat the New England Patriots to ruin their perfect season.
Oh, 18-1
Yep. Catch.
It's the greatest night of my life still to this day.
That's
for
Super Bowl.
Several reasons.
Yeah. Please, please change that when like the baby comes out.
Is getting back together with my wife. Everything else was also pretty fantastic.
Please change that when the baby comes out.
So you guys get back together, and you've been together since, obviously.
Yeah.
And so what was different? What was it about then that said?
Well, oddly enough, I think when we got back together, we both knew that we were like we were kind of trepidatious for the first 6 months, even after February 3rd, where we didn't know if we were going to actually commit because we both knew it was going to be the last one. Like it had all the writing on the wall.
And you're
like,
a little older, right? You're a little wiser.
23.
Yeah.
So not really that old.
Certainly not that wise.
No, but both of us were young and old enough at the same time to just be like, fuck, this is going to be serious. So I guess we'll jump into it. But we ended up.
Are you a comedian yet?
Yeah.
Oh, you had already started.
Maybe not right when we first started dating, but like into it. Yeah, more or less 2009.
It's also probably important to understand his wife a little bit. She is one of the most cool with whatever's happening. People, like, she just goes with the flow. It might be different behind closed doors, but she's just like so chill. Like Mike could be running around pretending to like jerk off on somebody's back and laughing and just like having a good old time. And she's just sitting there like, yeah, that's Mike.
That's what it comes with knowing somebody since they were 10. Yeah. And been behaving the same way.
But I say that to say it's a positive. Like when you see them interacting together, you're like, these are two pieces of a puzzle that just fit. They're perfect together.
Aww.
So it was always meant to be.
Maybe. I mean, but I don't know if I believe in that.
I'm sure you both are glad that you had your other life.
Yeah, I sure am. I'm glad for both myself and for her. I would feel very uncomfortable if I was her only sampling of penis. Like, it would just be like, I'd constantly be like, don't you wonder? But, you know what I mean? Because I would. It's only natural for people to be like, well, I'm still super happy with this, but like, what else is there? It's like,
yes.
I don't have the universal cock. I just have my own, so.
And your own skills.
There could be a different fit out there.
I wish someone did have a universal cock. That'd be hilarious.
That'd be fun, right? It just filled to each vagina.
You can get them at CVS. Yeah. You can get them in CVS at the At Scene on TV section. Yeah. Universal penis. Yeah.
However, if the vagina is an hourglass, it just kind of fills those areas.
Good luck getting it out, you know?
So before we get into the secrets to your long-term success,
yeah.
Alexis.
Yeah.
How did you guys meet? How long have you guys been together?
18 years together.
18 years, wow.
12 years married. We met first day of college orientation. And
where were you in college?
St. Peter's in Jersey City. Right. Ivy League.
Yeah, you traveled far.
Yeah. I didn't have a car, so I was like, where can the train get me to? And who's giving me money? We both got accepted to NYU. Actually, that's how we first started talking. We both got accepted to NYU. I got accepted to Stern and Tisch, so the School of Business and the School of Arts. And I got accepted for filmmaking. And my mom's like, you can't afford NYU, and you're not going to be a director. She's like, you're getting out of Newark. She's like, go to business school. You could do whatever you want after you graduate.
So go to Jersey City.
Yeah, go to a real college.
I know business starts in Manhattan, but you got to get your feet wet.
Yeah, but it also dies in Jersey City.
In fairness, after 9/11, actually a lot of companies did move to Jersey City. So it's
that's
completely
true.
Shit.
That
on,
is true.
What
happened on 9/11?
Yeah. I forgot. I promised I never would. So we met first day, and you know, you're there for 3 days. You stay over for 3 days, and neither one of us were dorming there. And I weighed 100 pounds less than I do now. And we threw like a big party. I have to say that because people are like, what the hell did she see in you? I threw a huge party in my room, and a bunch of people came. And I told everyone, you got to dress like you're going to the club. Like, we're going to make it like big.
Yeah.
The guy I was rooming with was a DJ, and he had his equipment. I'm like, oh, we're doing this. So we threw this fucking massive like rage party, and everyone's dressed like to the nines. And here walks in this woman in a wife beater, boxer shorts, sneakers, like rolling her eyes at everybody. My shirt's off. I'm getting a massage from a woman I hooked up with already in Newark. She's from the Ironbound section in Newark. Good school. They let in the kids from the Ironbound. And I'm sitting there and I'm getting a massage from her, but I'm like just transfixed on this woman in front of me. So I ask her name, and she said it was Donna. I heard Madonna, and I was like, yo, your name's Madonna? That's so cool. And she's like, you are an idiot. She's like, I said Donna. I was like, oh, that was cool. Right? And I was like, well, you know, she goes, what's your name? And I go, Alexis. And she's like, okay. And I looked, I could see the look on her face like, that's a girl's name, you know? And she went to ask me another question. I go, wait, before you do, this is God's honest truth, the first thing I said to her. I said, "What? Before you ask me any other questions, I said, what kind of car do you drive? And she goes, a Chevy. Why? I go, well, tonight you might be riding a Lexus.
Oh, my God.
And I know that's cheesy.
That is cheesy.
Shock your mind.
Wow. Hold on a second. Here's what I have to say.
All of Donna's jokes.
Oh, you must have been a lot thinner, man.
I was a lot thinner. But here's the thing. It's such a cheesy phrase. Or, you know, whatever, that it worked. It, like, it's so good. Like, she it worked too it. Well. She yeah, I married it. Her. It's too powerful.
Now, here's the question. Nowadays, do you think you shouldn't have liked that? Are you judging her for liking that by any
no.
chance? Because I'm judging
that's
her.
That's how
I think everyone so should judge her.
I'm judging her. I'm going, like, come on.
She actually laughed and said that was the dumbest thing I've ever heard. But, like, she laughed.
Yeah.
And
you
like
broke the ice.
I honestly thought it was a good line. Like, I did not suspect that it was cheesy.
Let's be honest.
Yeah.
You still think it's a good line.
I know that because it worked. It's like, dude, if you fall forward and the ball goes in the goal, like, you still score.
Yeah,
you
know it's got 100%
kill rate. Amen, man. Amen.
Yeah, I married the girl. You know what I mean?
Listen, at the end of the day, bro, you're the guy with the name Alexis.
Yeah.
You've got a couple of puns to work with. You don't get a chance to use it once or twice.
I ain't got a lot. All right, I've used
a couple of bishop puns on stage in my lifetime.
I got a couple of bullies.
It's not as good. It's not as good for coming on. It's no. Like, hey, I'm a bishop. Are you over 18? Forget it.
Are you a young to it? Are you a young boy?
That's like me seeing my girl in the sandbox when we're kids, and I'm like, you know what other box I'd like to play in?
Jesus, you wanted that one to work well, so
excuse
bad.
Excuse me, Mister.
Yeah,
what's a box?
If you were a kid and you pulled that off, that'd be pretty impressive.
That'd be pretty good. Yeah,
that guy's Dave Chappelle in the making.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
That's it. And we didn't like date seriously for maybe a couple months, but that's the day that we used as the day we met, because I had two girlfriends at the time. Like, I was not serious. Like, I wasn't exclusive, but I was seeing two different women at the same time. And I'm saying women. We were like 17, 18. We were two girls. And she was like the only one I started to like really care about.
Yes.
So if I look back, I say we fell in love in that one moment. I really do believe, but it's like one of those things where like, love to me is like a building I just opened the door in, you know, and walked in. I'm in the building. There's a lot more to find once you're in there. There's a lot more to travel. But, like, I stepped in. I'm in that. Like, I reached that level at that moment. And then we sort of slowly fell in love, and, like, it just never stopped. Like, it just never, at no point did we say, like, oh, we shouldn't do this. There was one moment where she was like, this is moving a little fast. Maybe we should be friends. And I was straight up. I was like, there's no such thing as friends. Like, after this, like, we either do this or we don't. And she was like, yeah, you're right. That was stupid. And that was it.
You should have been like, is this a walk-up or has this got an elevator?
I'm not in the building. I'm in the building. Yeah. Do we got escalators at least? Yeah. I'm a fat guy. I'm going to be fat real soon. Wait till you find out.
But that was nice. To me now. That was nice.
You have a great story about your first kiss. Can you share that?
Oh, so I at this party.
Fuck, that's what I was looking for. She had said you have a great story. I thought.
But it's after this.
Oh,
yeah,
okay, great.
It's a continuation.
That's great. That's great.
So remember I told you I threw that rager? Well, the PA, the TAs found out, and they, RAs, whatever they're called, and they kicked everybody out of the party.
Okay.
And the guy says to me, like, dude, you might get expelled for this party. So, like, all the women were staying in one dorm, and all the guys were staying in another dorm. So they kick all the girls out of the room, and they're trying to get, like, everyone's information. So I whisper in her ear, can I get a kiss? And she says something into my ear and then walks away. So I assume she said no. So I look over at my buddy, and I was like, huh, I guess she didn't want a kiss. And he goes, nah, she said go outside. And I was like, it's been too long already. I'm going to look thirsty. The term thirsty wasn't cool yet, so I don't know what I said. But I'm going to look thirsty. I'm going to look, like, desperate. And he goes, no, dude, go out there. I go, nah, it's okay. I'll see her tomorrow. And he physically turned me around and pushed me out of the room. Much easier to do at 100 pounds less than I weigh now. And I, like, ran into the elevator, and the door was closing. So I stuck my hand in, and the door opens up. She steps out, plants a kiss on me, steps back in the elevator, door closes, and because it was all the girls going back to their dorm, all you heard is the elevator went down. I was like, aww, as it went down.
It's literally a rom. I hope you wrote that down.
I have.
Well, that is an actual rom.
It's legitimately a rom.
Go on, and then all the
a rom-com
like,
moment.
Yeah, yeah.
Would you suck a dick in that elevator?
Ever seen anything more queer?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Kissing a chick softly.
Yeah. Will you love her?
What a homo.
Yeah.
Wow.
Legit kids from North. No, that's exactly how they are.
Yeah,
as from that moment,
story.
We were like, you know, we're like,
what's her name?
Her name's Donna. Everyone calls her D.
Oh, that's nice. So now you got that. What year was that again?
That was 90. That was 2000, right? 18, 2000.
So pre 9/11.
Yeah, 9/11 happened my sophomore year of college.
So you guys were together a year in 9/11.
Wow, well, so it's your fault.
Yeah. funny you say that.
They did. They did celebrate in Jersey City, according to Donald Trump.
Well, they didn't celebrate.
Oh, that's not okay.
But one of the guys worked. So I manage real estate property, and I used to help people get jobs at the restaurants and the buildings we manage. Like, they would say, "Do you know anyone?" People would come to the real estate office and say, "I'm looking for work," and I helped the dude. I helped a couple people get work, and I thought one of them at the time was Muhammad Atta because he worked at the place I was helping, but I never helped him get a job. How crazy is that? The dude was a dishwasher, one of the hijackers.
Yeah, Muhammad Atta. Oh, man. Crazy, he's the only name I remember.
Muhammad Atta is like the only one I know, but it was one of the other dudes, too. Nuts. Anyway, had nothing to do
some people drop names like, you know, I knew Rob De Niro back in that day. Interesting that's the first name.
You know, I rubbed elbows with Muhammad Atta.
Oh, you know Bob De Niro? Cute. Weird, you know who I know?
He dropped a private plane literature at my feet one day. Yeah. I was like, oh, good for you.
Oh, you don't know Mo? You don't know Mo Atta?
Attaboy, Mo. Having big dreams.
So... You can be honest or lie to this question, but so both of you have not been with another woman since you both committed to those relationships.
Yeah. No, well, I mean, for you, I know you're 10 years old, but no, from the moment I met, we've been steady ever since.
Yeah, I mean, I have since I was 10.
I know, not but I'm talking about since the you guys have been together.
You're monogamous.
Since we were a fish. Yeah.
How long are you both married?
I'm going on 13 years this year.
Yeah, I'll be 3 in September.
Oh, you're recently married.
And we're having a baby in July.
Wow. And I'm avoiding it like the goddamn plague.
I genuinely.
When you say you're having a baby in July, makes it sound longer. That's next month.
That's in 8 weeks. Yeah. It's crazy, man.
Are you afraid?
I'm afraid
for him.
Yeah.
Oh, it's the end of
July 26th. Yeah.
Wow.
I am. Wildly terrified, but also that level excited. So it's like two. It's like, you know, an unstoppable force meets an immovable object. It's those two feelings simultaneously at the same time. And that's why I sweat.
That's why you sweat.
Before I ask you about the pregnancy stuff, because there's too much to talk about, can I just focus on, do both of you have a time in your relationship where you reach the crisis of either, you know, mundanity or just sick of each other or, you know, just moments where you just thought, how the fuck are we, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. Can you both share a bit of that? Just like things you took from that help other people who may be dealing with that.
I don't know that if it was mundane, because I'm like a...
Yeah, I don't want to put a thing on it.
No. It's just like, for me, I'm a very simple dude. Like, I look at my life as buckets. I didn't think I was going to reach 30. I grew up in a really rough neighborhood. I wasn't like a thug or anything, but like shit used to happen all around me. All my friends. I had friends die when I was a teenager. So I just assume life works out for other people and not for me. If I do something fun or cool, that'll be great. But if I don't ever hit it, I knew I wouldn't. You know what I mean? I was like, so I view my life in buckets. To me, like, here's a job I like. Comedy. It's what I love to do. I grab a microphone. It makes me happy. That's all I want to do. You know, talk about soccer on a podcast. That's what I want to do. You know, when it comes to, like, women, I'm like, nah. This woman makes me very happy. So I never thought of, I don't worry myself with, you know, oh, what could be better? Like, to me, it's like, well, I know what I have is great, so I'm not worried about anything else. But, like, after a long time of doing the same thing, and it wasn't even so much me. It's like my wife brought it up to me. She was like, I think, like, not necessarily our love life, but, like, we need to work on some other things. You know what I mean? I'm like, yeah, I'm down to do all that. Like, what do we need to do? You know what I mean?
She brought that to you?
Yeah. And it wasn't necessarily like this has gone stale or our love life is stagnant, but we're both really busy. She's a nurse and a photographer, and I'm a stand-up comic. Sometimes I'm not around. You know, so I don't always... Like, I grew up with no real relationships in my family. My father left when I was a kid. There was nobody in my house that was in a relationship. Everybody was single. So for me, sex is something that happens behind closed doors and at night. You know what I mean? So, like, when we first started, like, dating and married, the idea of, like, morning sex is like, oh, my God, what are we, you know? Fucking truckers, you know? No, you have it at night, you know what I mean? And like, we eat, we relax, and then we have sex. Like, to me, it wasn't like something you could just do whenever. So, like, I was never like that type of dude to be like, let's fuck right now. I always viewed those people as weak. Like,
weak?
I always had a lot of friends that, like, had kids as teenagers. And I'm like, you can't keep your dick in your pants or at least pull
all
out.
That, yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, to me, like, I always view people that, like,
some people got potent cum.
So people react to the urges right away.
Yeah. So you
to
viewed
me, that's weak.
You viewed almost sex as lacking self-control.
If you, to some degree, at the beginning of my relationship, yeah, especially as a teenager, I think I just used that as like a defense mechanism to get the fuck out of Newark. I didn't want to have I didn't want to have a kid before. Yeah, I didn't want to be that guy who became a statistic. My whole life, that was me. All my friends were dealing drugs, but like, I don't even want it anywhere near me. You know what I mean? I don't want to get arrested in a car. I got arrested in a stolen car twice, and I'm like, why the fuck you tell me this was a stolen car? My friend's like, you think we own Mercedes? Like, you know, we live in the projects, man. I'm like, good point, you know? But like, I always was that guy. Everything I did was like,
but you had a lot of Hertz yeah, points.
God damn it, man. This ain't a rental.
It's going to be a great screen, but you got to get famous enough to make this movie.
Yeah, tell me about it. Yeah, could you guys help? Katie, help me out. How do I do this? But yeah, so like, I always viewed sex to me as like, this is something you do later on in the day. It's not like whenever the fuck you want. You know what I mean? Even though we were like very sexually active in the beginning of our relationship, it was always something that like, I never went with the impulse. You know what I mean? I did it when it was right.
So when she brought this up, she was bringing it up about sex or just about the relationship?
Just
in
like
general?
About a couple of things, like okay. A lot, you know, financially.
So what did you guys do?
I think she thought I was going to react defensively because I'm like, you know, sometimes I could be like that stereotypical Latino dude who like, you can't really hurt my machismo. You know what
yes.
I mean? But like, dude, I'm in my 30s now. That's done. You know what I mean? I'm happy with who I am. So she brought it up. I think she brought it up very tentatively, thinking I was going to react like, what the fuck you mean? You know, like defensive. And I was like, what do you want to do? Let's do it. Let's work on it. You know?
So what did you guys do? Do you remember?
Well, yeah, we sat down and we talked about it. Since the beginning of my relationship, I saw such bad relationships growing up, and I saw such lack of relationships that I said to my wife, I'm like, if you're mad about something, talk to me about it. I don't care if you think it's going to make me mad, and I'm going to do the same to you. You know that old trope of like, do I look fat in this shirt? Do I look fat in this dress? If I think she does, I'm going to tell her. You know what I mean? Like, that's been that way back and forth. Like, I leave no stone unturned. Like, when my wife is mad at me about something because of the garbage, I talk to her until I figure out what it's really about.
Yeah.
Because I grew up around enough women that I know, especially I grew up in a house with 6 Cuban women. I get it. You yell about what's in front of you, not what's really bothering you. So I learned you got to keep digging until you get what's really at the core. So when she brought that up to me, it was like, all right, let's sit and let's figure this out. It was uncomfortable. I had to cancel spots.
Really?
You know, yeah, I had to like, I'm like, we're not leaving this room until we figure out what the deal is. And a lot, it took a while too because like I was going through like a big thing in my career at the moment that took a lot of my time. So like there was moments where we really didn't talk to each other. And I'm like, yo, this might be over. I thought this was like going to be done. But like when the moment came for us to finally sit and like deal with what the issue was, I'm like, yo, let's just do it right now. You know what I mean? And I'd never want to be the person that if she did say to me that she thought like our love life was stagnant or not as enriched or as wild as she wanted, I don't want to be one of those people that's like, well, I'm not going to do it now because that's embarrassing. No. You know, I'll walk in wearing all leather late. I don't care. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like whatever makes her happy also makes me happy.
That would also make me happy.
Yeah, buddy, I'll do it for you.
Me too. Yeah. I'd love to see you in leather.
Yeah, it's
I don't
not
see
fun.
You trying to take it
yeah.
off.
Yeah, that's hilarious. Can we get a lot of talcum powder, maybe some butter?
Picture you yeah. in a full leather outfit, zipper mouth, yeah. with a rubber ball in it, and very little breathing room.
Yeah, yeah.
Newark accent the, mumbling.
Just doing the dishes.
But she didn't suggest, like, go see a couples therapist or anything like that, right?
No, not at all. And you know what? I'm kind of, I don't want to say because it sounds... I feel like a Cro-Magnon man when I say it, but I'm a little bit anti-therapy. In the
really?
Sense that, yeah. In the sense that, like, I'd rather try my hardest.
What would Mark Norman do for jokes?
Yeah, tell me about it. Yeah. Jews, still. I think one of the most difficult things I feel is, like, the comfort some people have in talking to somebody else versus the person that you have the thing with. So my wife goes to therapy, and I'm really happy about it. But personally, if I have a problem with my wife, I'm going to tell her about it.
Yeah, but sometimes you need an objective opinion
objective
that has
observer.
No emotional stake.
True. I get it.
Wow.
And that's why I think for other people...
You dropped that in
Well, because I'm the same way. As I grew up in an Irish Catholic family that has... The only emotion we're allowed to express is anger.
Mm-hmm.
and you're basically
Enjoy,
allowed...
Yeah.
And you get a green light to basically act as any, you know, furious, say whatever the mm-hmm. fuck you want out of anger. And then after you're done, it's like... Well, that was okay. I was angry.
That was
like,
then, and this is now.
Yeah, and so we didn't communicate. We didn't believe in therapy. We didn't get to the emotional core of anything. And so the breaking point of my relationship was probably like 6 years ago, where I like have such internal anger issues from growing up in a turbulent household myself.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the stuff that even like, you know, dishes, conversations, horseshit like that, that I'm hearing subconsciously my mother, you know, bossing me around and all this shit, and I'm not even processing it properly in the present. I'm just thinking about all this like childhood horseshit, and
but
I'm
you,
so
you weren't conscious of that though,
of
right?
course not yeah. no and I was so angry that I remember, you know, I'm a big punching through things guy, like I punched walls when I was a kid.
Yep.
And so I fucking fired a punch through the bathroom door, pulled my hand out, and instantly texted a therapist. I was like, yeah, I think that's about it. Yeah. I think that's about time. And
yeah.
I should do it.
Just wiping the blood off the screen.
No, but honestly, and once I took individual accountability for myself and tried to find the root of, like, you know, what was going on with me, why I was so angry, why I was so depressed, why I had so much, like, kind of unaccounted for anxiety. That has helped immensely with our relationship. She's gone individually. We've gone like 3 times together. It wasn't like a practice or anything like that. More of just kind of like, let's see how this goes with a mediator.
You went to a separate one, or you went to one or the other?
Weirdly enough, we actually, and I would not recommend this, we initially individually went to the same therapist, and then we would come together, like, and kind of talk them all out. So I don't know if I would recommend that with, you know, just somebody knowing too much about your shit, or
yes,
not being able to be objective and honest, you know, if they pick sides, yeah, or
they
something
pick
like
a
that.
Side.
Yeah.
This guy was relatively good. I had my own issues with him outside of that, which stopped me from going there now. But, yeah, I credit therapy with the prolonging and survival of my relationship.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
See, I'm not anti in the sense that I think you shouldn't do it. I just think for me, I'm like, I can't imagine what it is that I can't talk out. If I hit that point, then I'll do it.
Yeah, I can talk out anything. You just want to get your ideas maybe in order where you're not reactionary. So my big problem is, like, is I want to talk about something in the moment, and I'll be like almost emotionally invested to the point where we can't even get to the issue because I'm so frantic, yes, about wanting to even talk about it.
See, that's
so
where you and I are so different. Like, I'm almost, I think some, most of the time, emotions are a waste of time. Most of the time.
What?
Yeah, I but think you're most a sociopath. Time,
yeah, I mean, maybe. Like, here's, like,
but it's, you can say that, but
yeah, no.
But are you telling
dead
me
ass
that,
in practice?
Yeah, no, but are you telling me emotions never drive you?
No, I don't know.
You're,
I wouldn't say that.
You're completely independent of,
no,
of any emotional.
I certainly wouldn't say that, but I think they're a waste of time. I feel anger, but I tell myself, what is it that you're angry about? Go fix that, as opposed to be angry. Yeah, I get frustrated like everybody else. I get angry like everybody else. I have moments where I get jealous like everybody else. But I try to tell myself, where does that come from? I grew up in a family that was like so quick to fly off the handle, similar to yours. Like seeing my mother and my sister like fist fight wasn't out of the realm of reality. That was like every night. Just seeing people just yelling at each other. And I'm like, you're angry because your husband left. You're angry because you can't do what you want and you have no dad. Can we talk about that and stop throwing shit at each other?
But you learned how not to behave, whereas a lot of people learn how to behave,
right,
and then they can't separate. So you just saw it and was like, I don't want to be like that. So like, you learned emotional intelligence.
Exactly.
Do you ever worry about the just to intellectualize the emotion and not necessarily properly express it will ever catch up?
Yeah.
By the way, just so you know, this is the beginning of an intervention.
Yeah, clearly.
Is I was going to pop that out of the fireplace.
I'm asking a question that applies to me because I do the exact same thing. I've been off of therapy for like 2 years, and I've put into practice a lot of the stuff that I've learned, but I still think that there are times when I can succumb to emotional, like, you know, bubbling, where it bubbles up. Even if I know what I'm looking at and understand how to, you know, solve it, it's still the raw feeling of it sometimes takes over.
Yeah, look, if you ask my wife, she'd tell you that I'm probably like you know, I sort of like emotionally stunted, maybe is probably the term, or like I lack sort of that ability to get the emotions out because I just want the thing to go away. And I would tell her that the reason why I think she's wrong is because I want to live in that emotion. Like if I get sad about something, I want to be sad and feel it and then get it out of the way, move on. I had that already. I dealt with it. Let's move on. I never want to do what happened to me when I was a kid and let those emotions fuck up someone else's life. So, like D says, I shut off. I'm like, I don't shut off. I didn't grow up throwing plates. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, her family is super Jersey, Italian, and Irish. They throw shit every time they're upset about everything.
Let me just throw this out.
Uh-huh.
Throwing plates is not the only way to shut off.
Sure.
So, what I'm saying is that the intellectualizing is actually a way to disconnect yourself from the actual emotion.
But I'm not
because
not
what you're
to
saying
having the emotion.
Is I'm in control.
Sure, but I'm not saying I'm not allowing myself to have the emotion. I'm just like saying, let me experience it, let me go through the stages of it, and
let me
then
control it 100%.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm just trying.
No, you're right. No, you're 100% right. But like, at least that way, I'm not. I know when I'm upset. If I go to my wife with this emotion now, it's going to cause an issue. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but as well, I always find we just don't have the words for all the emotions. Like, sometimes you're not sad, you're not angry, and it's really hard. How do you communicate that then if you're feeling something you don't understand? Do you communicate it to your wife? Or you're like, I don't know what I'm going through right now.
Like, when I was a kid, I got held up at gunpoint when I was like 12 years old, and I just learned English like 2 or 3 years before that, and I didn't react. I told the guy I had a bag with a lot of clothes in it, and there was a store. I'm not going to go through the whole story, but they give you little bags when you buy a shirt. and I didn't have a lot of money. But if you buy three shirts or like a pair of jeans, you get the big bag, and I have this store name on it. I was really proud that I got to go to the store. So I'm walking up the street, guy puts a gun in my mouth, and he goes, "Give me the bag." And I go, "Dude, come on. It's the big bag." Like, I'm like reasoning with a guy with a gun, which is stupid. You don't do it. You give him the bag.
With it in your mouth?
Come on, man. He actually pushed it and it went in my mouth, but he put it like right to my face. And I was like, "All right, here you go. Take the bag. Clearly you want it more than I do." Took the bag, and then I like realized, like, I got on the bus back, and I was like, "Holy shit, I could have died in that moment." I realized in that moment, I'm like, "Come on, dude, get this out of here," right? So like from that moment on, I realized, like, if I would have reacted angry or scared, I could have triggered that dude, you know what I mean? And he could have reacted in a bad way. He might have gotten scared and pulled the trigger, something like that. So I think I learned in that moment that's like, all right, you don't bring that emotion elsewhere, you know what I mean? You don't outwardly
show.
Yeah, I
mean, I'm pretty sure that the average therapist says, don't base your life on how would I react if I had a gun in my mouth.
Sure. Only if you're holding it yourself. That's why you need a therapist.
That's how I might make my most basic decisions.
I just burnt this burger.
Which pair of shoes today?
Honey, I know you're saying that sometimes I'm not that affectionate, but here's what I think. When I had a gun in my mouth, yeah, I just took it easy.
Yeah. Actually, I would tell you that I'm probably very affectionate.
I'm kidding.
Like, just to show, like, I think that's one way that our relationship has had maybe some struggles, is my wife in the beginning was very, like, she would demonstrate very big her emotions. And I'm like, this is all a dog and pony show at this point. Like, this is too much. You can't be that angry and then be that happy after it. Listening to you now, it makes a little bit more sense.
Just Italian.
Yeah. But, like, to me, it's like, what is it that you're really upset about? Like, let's sit down and talk about it.
Okay, so let me ask for some basic tips, right? So, like, you guys together a long time. Obviously, it's just natural. Sometimes you get frustrated. Somebody's in a bad mood. Somebody's not. Do you have any of, like, the simple shit, like, let's just take 30-minute break and come back to this? Because I know for myself that sometimes it's just so fucking important that I don't lose the battle. And then, like, the next day, I'm like, I could literally not give a fuck.
Right.
I don't need her to say sorry. I don't need to say anything because it literally doesn't matter. So do you guys have any of that?
Yeah, that's like,
I'm terrible at it, by the way.
Right.
In the moment, I literally...
Well, because it's tough to create healthy boundaries while you're spiraling, right?
Yes.
So, like, that's a thing that my wife and I have gotten better at over the years.
And is that a term you got from therapy, spiraling?
Yeah, and kind of just how the feel... I don't know if he gave
it to
me.
Also, page one of his comedy notebook.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I am. I'm a constant spiral in terms of, like, internal self-doubt, anxiety, hatred, anger, all that stuff. But for a relationship, my wife and I, like... I used to be like the guy, no, don't leave. You can't leave until we figure this out.
Oh, right.
Almost like blocking, or like, no, we got to fucking talk. That, like, being like a real, almost like a bully, like a piece of shit, just to try to almost assuage my internal, like, chaos, because she's upset and I can't stop it and I can't control it. So I would want to handle it right then and there. But now I've gotten better.
By the way.
Not bad, nice. Right?
Yeah, great vocabulary.
Now I've gotten better at the, like, okay, it would benefit both of us if I took a walk, or if you took a walk. Like, I don't think that you're gonna leave forever. Like, that's part of my big thing, is like, if she leaves during the fight, that's it. Like, I'll never see her again, or she'll get kidnapped, or, like, you know, I have all these crazy...
She'll get run over by a car and you'll feel bad.
Oh my god.
You'll be like, great, now it's my fault.
That's an Irish guilt thing. I'm always like, tell me you love me before you leave.
This might be an Irish thing also, but since, like, the last, like, month, I've had some really morbid thoughts about dying before my kid gets here, or, like, dying within the first couple months. Like, it's been a recycle constant of just, like, well, I'm going to fuck up. I'm not going to be here for him. I'm going to die, but I'm going to ruin everything. Constant on loop. It's a weird thing.
It's an Irish thing, yeah.
Yeah,
I have dreams about dying all the time.
I think I might be having a kid thing, though.
Oh,
like,
you
like, people always say when you have a kid, like, suddenly you're just afraid all the time.
Well, yeah. You also, it reminds you of your own mortality.
I never thought about it before, yeah. And now I'm like... Now I
don't believe
to
that,
live
though.
For.
I believe you thought about death a lot.
No, I thought about trying to actively pursue it.
Yeah.
Maybe, like, a little bit, for real. Like, you know, where a bunch of my friends died, and, like, I went through some family shit, and, like, and to the point where I was, like, drinking, driving, doing blow, and I was like, hey, what happens, happens. I don't give a fuck. Let's go. Let's push this red line. Let's
I had a lot of crazy. Friends who went that way. I have a friend who was, like, the nerdiest kid in the world. Nerdiest. Like, afraid of everything. One of our friends got shot. He was doing some dirty shit, and this kid just became, like, the biggest gangster, but you could see it was like the guy who drinks and drives, like, he was just doing it to just put himself out there, like, he didn't care if he died. And everyone's like, he's so tough. I'm like, he's scared.
He's like the Great Gatsby. That's always running through the woods towards a bullet.
Yeah.
He just accidentally happens into a Purple Heart.
Yeah, I totally
so do you have
I
any totally, other tricks
I totally bad. Read a book.
Yeah, I've read it. I'm smiling.
Never
like
even saw the movie. I'm like, totally, dude.
Crazy reverend. I've read The Great Gatsby like three times.
Yeah,
they drive right through Flushing, which is where I'm from. Have you got any long-term relationship tricks?
Yeah, I think one of
getting out of a jam.
I think one of the most important things that I, especially like friends of mine will ask me, is that they're like, yo, whenever we get into a fight, she brings up shit from the past. And it's like, you know, don't do the same thing. I think like they're like, oh, I'm starting to remember. It's not what you do. You don't also.
So what about you?
Add more. But that's what I'm telling him. I'm telling you the same thing. Don't do the same thing. Like, if someone's very upset and they're the same thing that I said before. If someone's very upset and they're bringing up shit that's got nothing to do with it, get to what it is about.
There's, so what about when you're upset? What's your trick?
I don't really get that upset. If I'm upset about something, I tend to stay away until I'm less upset, so that I don't say something stupid or I don't come to her in anger. So for me, it's like take a walk,
and
do something you love. You know, play FIFA. That's my
thing. I work
thing.
Out or cry. I watch Friday Night Lights a lot.
You probably do both at the same time.
If I need a good cry or surprise, America's Got Talent auditions or Soldiers Coming Home. That'll douche the feelings pretty quick.
America's Got Talent does bring up the old tears.
Yeah.
But do you find when you're just saying about how you're like not emotional, that you're not like crying, but you're like I'm sad about this?
Yeah.
Does the other person not take it as seriously when you're not showing the emotion?
Well, my cousin passed away. He was a great guy. He went running at a high altitude when they told him not to, and he had a heart attack. And this kid like helped raise me, and that hit me like a ton of bricks, but not right away. When I found out he passed away, I was like, oh no, that sucks. Like, I was upset. But his nephew, who he helped raise, because his nephew, his brother-in-law was murdered when the kid was born, so he helped raise him. He messaged me on Facebook. And like the moment I saw what's up, the idea that this kid helped raise this kid and now he's passed away, so he took over and now he's got to do the same thing for his kid. It hit me like a ton of bricks, and like water started pouring out of my face. I wasn't even crying. I was just like releasing liquid out of my face. Like,
foreign tears are to you.
Yeah. I wasn't even crying.
But my lip wasn't quivering or anything. I was just full blown like, I went to like stage 10 of crying without going through the first 9.
Yeah,
and
38 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
So my wife walks in as it's happening and she's like, what the fuck? Like, you know, she's only seen me cry like 6 times.
Get in your room, bitch. You can't see me like this. Turn your face.
And she just came up to me and hugged me, and we hugged for a minute. And she's like, what happened? And I'm like, you know, Pedro died. And she's like, yeah, I know, but. And like, you already dealt with this like a week ago. I'm like, nah, the kid messaged me and I told her the whole story, and now she's crying. And like I said, I didn't want to like stop myself from crying. Just experience the emotion.
Yeah.
You know, wait till the water's a little less rocky. And I think that's the same thing when I'm upset. If something really makes me upset, I'll wait until I know I'm not going to say it in anger. Like, my wife did something the other day that I was like, she did this knowing I would clean it up later, and it pissed me off. Like, she did this and left it purposely knowing I hate it when it's like this, and I'll clean it up. And I'm like, yo, that's like taking advantage of me. You know what I mean?
So how'd you deal with that one?
So like,
that's a good one. That's a good practical, like, low-level irritant that can spiral out.
Because, like, in my head, I'm like, what am I, some little bitch? Like, every time this is fucked up, I'm going to come in and clean. Like, that's what immediately went through my head. And then I was like, okay, this is a woman who loves you. You know what I mean? Clearly not treating you this way. And I waited. And then, like, 2 days later, I was not angry about it anymore. I went to her and I was like, hey, you did this XYZ. And she goes, you know what? Before you continue, I realized I had done that twice and I was leaving it for you to clean, and that's messed up. And I was like, okay.
Wow.
And I wanted to finish
a knife under the table.
I'm patching the wall that I punched. I'm like, cool, cool. New picture I put up.
Yeah, I barely reacted. Yeah.
But like, so you know the way you say, like, I go for a walk. I go, have you ever been in a scenario where she's just like, no, we got to deal with this now, like Mike was saying?
Yeah, same thing I do to her. Like, There was a couple times where, like, she would be like, what were you doing? Like, that kind of shit. And to me, it's like, dude, I'm, like, the most honest. Like, wow, like, what am I doing? Like, but I also don't want to react like the guy who is cheating or doing something silly or, like, doing something which is like, what do you think I was? Clearly, now you were. You know what I mean? So I was like, what is it that you think was happening? And let's talk about that. You know what I mean? But, like, she just wouldn't get off the what happened. I'm like, all right, I'm going to get out of here. You do you, and I'll come back. Oh, but where are you going to go? And every time I tried to take a step out the door, it became a bigger argument. So, like, I just sat there in silence and let her get her anger out. And then at the end, I was like, you ready to talk? Which made her upset that I said that. But, like,
did she say you're a condescending prick?
A little bit.
No, I'm just I'm playing the devil's advocate.
Yeah. A little bit. And that's come up in the past. But, like, I'm like, you ready now? Like, I don't. Arguing, yelling at each other doesn't. Saying something louder doesn't mean you're winning. Like, I've grown up with enough Cuban women to know that that's sometimes, especially my sister, my mother at the very least, and my grandmother, my aunt, and my cousins, they think the louder you yell, the more you're winning an argument. I'm like, well, no. Like, there's no winning or losing in an argument if you love each other, you know what I mean? Like, let's just talk about it, and if we could deal with it, we can. If we can't...
Is your wife a yeller?
Yeah, she's Italian as well. Like, we're both, like, but we've... you know, knock on wood or whatever, but we've gotten to a point, especially in this pregnancy, where, like, I've been... I got to give myself credit where credit is due. From the moment I found out that my wife was pregnant, I've been in, like, another level of a husband. Like, A++ in terms of just my empathy, my understanding, my support, my help, my willingness to just 100% be there and go there and have her back has been, like, you know, I've kind of, like, surprised myself a little bit. And, what was the question? I'm just giving myself props.
No, I was just saying, I was asking.
He's like, my dick got bigger.
Yeah. So she's a yeller. And, like, you know, it's hard to argue with a comic, and especially, you know, me, because I speak fast on stage, and so, like, I get articulate when I get angry. Like, that's how I make my fucking living.
You know, like, I speak Spanish when I get upset. Like, I'm Ricky Ricardo. Like, yeah. Spanish, I didn't know English until I was, like, 8 or 9. So you get... Like, he starts using words with, like, 7 syllables.
Yeah, I don't know why. Like, I just get into this real mode where I get very cutting and very and kind of personal. And, like, yeah. I was a piece of shit when I was a kid sometimes because my parents had such terrible boundaries and would say such awful things to themselves or to each other that, like, my idea of quote-unquote arguing was with my dad where he'd be like, fucking clean your room. What the hell are you doing? And I'm like, shut up, you fat failed actor.
Jesus. Oh, your dad was a failed actor, too?
Yeah.
We have that in common.
You
but my dad was an angry one. My mom was.
Oh, I thought you said he was too. I was like, damn.
No. Yeah, sorry.
Damn, Dez.
Sorry. I was talking about
3 more years until I'm officially failed.
Sorry, Mike. Did you think I was talking about my dad?
No. I knew you were talking about your dad because we've had this brief.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Sorry. So that would be pretty cutting. You'd be like, well, you remind me of my dad. So
you and your dad also suck. Wow.
Yeah, no, I've had that problem, too. Like, I was in a very long-term relationship, and she just couldn't handle it. I get angry. I would just, like, not understand why she thought it was a problem. Because it was just so normal to me to be that loud. But you realize that not everyone had that experience.
Right.
And then it's quite intimidating to them. But it took me years to realize
that. The first few years of our relationship, my wife would, like, go big, and I wouldn't react back. And she'd be like, what's wrong with you? We're arguing. So I'm going to yell, I'm going to get upset, and you do the same thing, and I'd be like,
aren't you Hispanic?
Cuban. Put down that Babaloo drum and get over here and yell at me.
But it irritates people more. So my mother would, like, throw things. She was very angry all the time, quick to fly off the handle, and I learned from a small age just if I didn't react, it would actually annoy her more. So it was like my little form of rebellion. But then I dated men who were like that, and it would drive them insane and would nearly push them. They'd be like, I don't understand, and they would get more angry, and I would still stay calm. And in hindsight, then I would, like, pretend to be angry just so I could get out of the argument. Yeah. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm mad too. Oh.
Checks your watch.
I really wish I could see that. You putting on a front, just like, no,
I'm also angry.
One time my ex-boyfriend that I lived with, he was getting so mad at me, and I was like, I just know that if I got mad back, this will end the argument. So I threw my phone just to be like, oh yeah, I'm mad too.
He's like, you threw your phone at the couch. Oh yeah.
I know, I threw it at the bed.
Yeah. I'm soft. You don't want to break
your phone. Yeah.
I don't have insurance.
That's calculated.
You don't want to break your phone in fake anger.
No. You got the genius bar. Like, I don't know, man. I was pretending to be angry. Could you just fix it?
Katie has such a nice girl reputation in New York, I've noticed. Because everyone always reacts. If you say anything angry or something dirty, everyone's like, Katie.
Oh, no.
Oh,
she's
a sweetheart.
Yeah. I'd be very sweet on the inside or on the outside, which makes me think you're very capable of some evil.
Yeah, completely fucked up.
Kill some people. Yeah.
Fucking hiding. No one says that laughing unless they've really done it, by the way.
All right, so just in conclusion, let's get a little sexual.
Yeah.
Let's have a bit of fun. How's the pregnancy sex going?
Super off-putting.
Oh, really?
I was not expecting that.
Yeah, so here's... And it's not for, like, any body shape reason or anything like that. Like, my wife looks great. I really still
she's,
am
she's
very...
Blooming.
I'm very attracted to her still.
With that belly, it's kind of like you're fucking me if I had a vagina.
And you know what? That's what makes
it
hotter.
Yeah, that's what makes it hot.
She's like a hairless Alexis.
But he's so am I.
That's what I call her. So what's really... weird and uncomfortable is like every thrust, you know, say we're going from behind and a fucking baby hand touches my hand as I'm about to come, and it's like,
what? Well, so I think you're worried about getting a hand job from your child?
No, no, I know he can't reach.
Yeah. I know. You asked the doctor?
I'm not shaking hand. What I find weird is when I'm gripping her stomach as we're having sex, the baby will fucking paw me in the palm.
Oh, my God.
Your baby's trying to give you knuckle up, dude.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Good job, man.
Dude.
Buddy! Now when he's born, I'm going to have to hold his hand just to be able to come.
Hey, son, get in here.
Just like high school.
Yeah, don't touch your belly.
Yeah, well, you know, yeah. But, I mean, it's kind of unavoidable at this point.
No funny tales other than that? Like, I mean, you don't have to. I'm just curious.
Well, we have to use condoms now, actually, which sucks.
Because
I went to Aruba to do a show, and that was going to be our baby moon, but they still have fucking Zika down there. So now, because I was there and even, like, exposed to it, she can't blow me. I can't have sex with her without a condom on, or else we'll have a fucking Beetlejuice headed baby.
Yeah. And you did steroids. You've already
right. Well,
pushed the needle.
Irish kid though, so maybe that'll make his head normal.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean that has been truly the roughest. It'll be 4 months no blowjob by the time this kid is out, and I assume it'll be quite some time after that as well. So, what a nightmare!
Wow, it's just prep. Because once the kid comes, it's going to be like...
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the way down the priority list for a while, I think.
Oh, yeah. No, I'll get her when she's sleeping.
Just flopping your penis on her face.
Yeah. It'll just be slack, John. Yeah. I'll just dip it in.
So have either of you, like in the long journey of your sexual lives with your partners, have either of you had a time where you just deliberately said, let's do something quite different to spice it up?
No, I don't know that I've ever specifically said that, but like, you know, you bring stuff up.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're like, yo, you want to try this? Or like, you just do it. Like, there was one time where like, I was having so much fun that like, she like pushed me and then I slapped her and I'm like, oh, look at us. And she was like, what the fuck did you just do? And I'm like, I thought that's where we were going with this. Like, I thought that's where this elevator was headed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Turns out, no.
She wasn't into that.
She was not happy, at least in the moment. You know, afterwards, we're cool with it now and we had it. But at that moment, she was not expecting that at all. And she was like, did you just hit me? I'm like, no, like it's during sex. Like, I'm allowed to do that, right? He's not. No, you're not.
Well, you know, it's fine in that scenario. She hit you with the safe word of what the fuck.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that's like a long-term couple thing. I feel like you get into like, you know, 2 months, you're super into ass eating or something like that. Yeah. And then you do that for a while and then other stuff comes up and it's just like you kind of ride the ebb and flow of what you've been watching that month.
Or there's times where like if she's
taking a
shower.
Oh, you guys watch porn together?
No, I watch separately and then I study game film and then I bring
some You got notes, game tape?
I got the yellow on the monitor like
a X's
Madden.
And O's. You got a whiteboard?
Like, you put this leg up here and then I'll come from behind. And.
But your wife was cool with the ass eating.
Yeah. I mean, I I'm not a finger up the ass guy, but I do like a tickle around the rim. That's nice. Yeah.
We had a whole ass play episode.
Nice.
So that's great that you guys
introduced
that.
Yeah, I've never
went
knuckle deep. I am certain I would like it. I mean, it's been tested at this point through the roof, so I'm sure I would like it.
You've prepared for it quite a bit.
But I think at this point, I'm a little nervous about like what she would tell her friends.
But you guys haven't. he likes three fingers up there. Yeah.
Who's that?
No,
that's her saying it to her friends.
Yeah.
Like, honey, the whole fist slipped in. I've never seen anything like it in my life.
I mean, in fairness, I take gargantuan shits. I'm assuming I could take a few knuckles.
Do it before she gets arthritis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you guys have, you've not been afraid to introduce it.
No, not at all. Yeah. I think there was like a period of time, like a whole year where like, every time she was in the shower, I'm like, ooh, you know, like, introduce myself into the shower.
Did either of you guys ever get surprised by a suggestion that came from your wives or your partners at the time?
No. I don't think so. No, I think I've known her for so long.
Yeah.
That, I mean, unless it was like, yo, this is Steve, then I'd be cool. You know what I mean? Like, I'm totally fine with whatever. Except that, you know what I mean? Like, I could care less what
I'm
she wants
to do. I'm a simple guy.
Like.
As long as it's consistent, like, I'm perfectly satiated.
I also feel like I got this thing to hold up of like the Latino lover. Like she has to finish first.
Yeah, you
got to
eat box for like 3 hours.
Yeah, which I'm fine with. Okay. I prepare myself for eating for quite a while. Like I'm totally cool with that. In fact, love it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like I understand like Clam I'll go buffet. Last and I'm fine with it because I kind of get tired after I go anyway.
Oh, no,
no, I like getting her out of the way because then there's no pressure on
that's
lasting
so romantic.
Long.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
It's like you've so done yet. Perfect. Now I'm just going to lurch free, inside you for 35 seconds pass. Until I finish.
100. Hands and knees and we're out of here, bitch.
Feel free to text while I'm doing this.
Yeah. I barely need you here.
Yeah. That is true, though. Yeah, I've made a few jokes about that. But like, get them out of the way first, then you're good.
Yeah, I have a friend who's like, "Oh, I don't eat pussy. That's gay." And I was like, "What is wrong with you?"
It's actually the opposite.
He's an enemy. Yeah. Yes. He's an enemy of this podcast.
Yeah, I just don't
this
get
is a
it.
Very truly the opposite of gay.
Yeah. No, I can't think of anything better. So I'm almost fine with just that.
It's the easy way.
Yeah.
Eating is cheating. That's the joke I have. It's so easy. I feel like it's cheating.
Yeah.
Eating is cheating.
And it's only, you only have to do it 3 weeks out of every month.
Yeah. When you were doing that bit in Ireland, it was great for me to watch because my sister was sitting beside my uncle and my father, and he was doing eating is cheating and blah, blah, blah. And my sister was dying, and then I get to see my uncle and my dad.
Her sister's 16, just for the record.
Oh, so
she's she's 17 this month, though, but it was a funny experience.
What's the age of consent
in Ireland? Snorkeling at 16, huh?
What's snorkeling?
I don't know.
she was anti-going. Well, didn't she tell you that she thought that was disgusting?
There is an attitude around the age group of friends that kind of said that blowing guys is very accepted. She's heard the conversation about it, like a lot of guys would expect that her age, but all of her girlfriends would have said, oh, you know, that it's kind of, they're embarrassed by it, I guess.
By getting a guy going down.
Yeah.
Matteo Lane, who actually was a guest on the Des Bishop podcast in the past, has just walked over and distracted us.
And I'm busy, so I'm leaving.
But Matteo's a future guest of the podcast. He's going to tell us about taking it in the ass. Hopefully with Emma.
Hopefully with Emma
Willman, who's also just walked out. But we literally just discussed that earlier.
That's hilarious.
Now they're playing it real gay cool, like they're not interested in our monogamous heterosexual conversation.
Oh, you know, like when a dick goes in a pussy, huh?
We're having, actually, it's Pride, isn't it? Pride Month.
Yeah.
We should have them on soon, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you guys could discuss this after we're off.
We'll have
either,
better.
Either we're going to have them on or we're going to have the monsoon season.
Yeah.
How are you doing, George? Oh, it's getting very busy all of a sudden. Well, actually, we're going to finish. Do you have any questions before we wrap it up? Oh, Katie's got notes.
Because a few people messaged us on Instagram with questions, so I just want to see if we might have already gone through all of it. So,
let's get it.
Oh,
check it out.
Going to my screen.
Are you not in a long-term relationship anymore? You were before,
currently,
right?
No.
Okay.
Currently, no. I'm doing a lot of research for the podcast, so I can't commit right now.
Yeah. Are you doing a lot of apps?
We've discussed the apps.
Yeah.
Do a little Raya. I can't break the code of Raya, but I matched with one or two interesting ones.
Oh, nice. Nice. Good for you.
I can't break the code, though.
We'll talk about it when the mic's
on. The Raya code.
I helped my buddy make his video for Raya.
Oh, I didn't do a video. I just do a picture.
So. Okay, so we've said a lot of it, but one was, does social media, who they follow, have any effect on them? Do you find social media affects your relationship?
Oh,
yeah, like my wife follows way more booty accounts than I do. Like I don't follow any. Like I don't really care. Like I'm not a huge into porn or anything like that either. Like if I'm horny, I'm like, that's what I'm married for. You know what I mean? I'll ask her to do something if she's down with it. You know?
You're not snooping around her Instagram or anything?
Not really. I could care. Like we have each other's phone passwords. I'm just not that type of dude. Like I'm not jealous or whatever. I'm a little bit possessive at times. I get that because I have such a good time with her that I want her to. I'm like, those aren't your friends. I'm your real friend, you know? fuck those people. They're whores. No, I'm joking. Totally kidding, Ireland. But like, there's times where like she'll pull something up. I'm like, dude, if I had that on my phone, you'd be furious. But as well, now she knows how to twerk, so maybe it's not that big of a deal. It's kind of dope.
I follow a lot of models and stuff like that because that's what I like looking at. My wife
doesn't
care less.
Yeah,
no,
she doesn't care.
Because I'm not doing anything. If I was DMing people, that would be like, you know, I'm pretty sure she'd be able to sniff it out of me. Like if I was being a weirdo. I've just never been a weirdo.
You've never been a DM guy?
No, it's just not. I'm not looking for it.
You're not worried about your phone lying around?
No, I give it to her. To be perfectly honest, I am thrilled to be married to somebody that I like because it's just one less thing to be concerned with.
Yeah.
So if I had on top of like career and like making money and all this shit, if I had to worry about like who I was going to date and try to get laid and all that stuff, it would just add to the pool of self-hatred.
I can't imagine being single.
My aunt gave me great advice when I was back home. She's in a really, really long term, like it was like 30 years, I think. But she said, when you're choosing who you're going to be with, make sure that you'll always like them, because you won't always love them or you won't always be sexually attracted to them, but make sure you can still like them.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really good advice. Yeah. Yeah.
Smart.
Can I ask, you can just give a quick answer to this, but if you found yourself like weirdly sexually attracted to somebody or like talked to somebody after the show and was just like had a moment of like, fuck, I would love to fucking bang this girl, would you go back and say it?
To my wife?
Yeah.
I don't know. I would probably jerk off to it and be happy with that.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah,
I'm fine. I'm fine enough with that. With like knowing that I probably could have slept with somebody. Is like, okay, cool. Could have done it. Now instead of you know, again, lurching on top of you for 80 seconds, I'll go back to the
window. My wife seems to think sometimes like there'll be people talking to me after a show, and she's like, "That girl totally wants to fuck you," and I'm like, "No, she does." Like, I don't see it. Like, I'm like, really? Like, why? Like, go fuck somebody who looks better, you know?
But honestly, for all the men out there, I think it's not said enough how many problems are solved by fucking choking one out. I mean, it is amazing how the minute your fucking load is blown, how you can save yourself so much.
You
hassle.
Just think like a human being.
Common sense flies right back into your brain.
It's an intoxicant, right? It like might as well be booze or like another drug, testosterone and jizz and all that stuff building up inside you. It can make you make some fucked up decisions. So if you just drop a healthy batch, you're going around, you know, thinking like a human.
I also think it's simple, but think about like if this were to happen and they knew about it, that would end everything. And then what would your life be like? It's like at the end of the day, what's the point of this?
Well, I found that a lot. I've dated a lot of jealous guys, and they've been, you know, they've been worried about me being a bartender, a comedian. I'm like, look, firstly, you dated me because you think I'm attractive. So why would you not think other people think I'm attractive? Also, for women, we've been dealing with rejecting people since we were 13. So why don't you think I wouldn't be able to deal with that now that I'm in a relationship? Yes. So it's like just being secure and, you know, just not even worrying about it. Most of the time, the worry is worse than the 100%. Actual act.
100%. A buddy of mine cheated on his wife, got caught, and then he married the girl he cheated on her with. And I'm like, well, what do you think this is going to end? You know? I'm like, she knew that wife.
They sound like they're meant to be.
She knew the wife. I'm like, well, come on now. Like, whatever. Maybe they're still happy. I haven't talked to him in a minute. But I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's
a toughie.
She openly cheated.
You got any more there,
Would
Katie?
You guys ever have threesomes in long term? But before I ask question, because there was a specific question.
No, so I don't think so.
Then that won't. And then
not with my. I've had it before with casual people, but not like
in a relationship. Yeah, where it's like, can we add somebody to the mix?
I don't want to do that.
That's just a recipe for disaster, I think. Although some people are really
happy to pull it off, but I think it's very difficult.
And then there was two questions about thinking about having sex with other people, but you just answered that where you
But that's a conversation my wife and I had where we're like, oh, who knows what we're gonna feel like 15, 20 years into our relationship, and maybe we're gonna look for like maybe we'll stay married and date other people. Like, we have no idea what that could look like. Obviously, it's going to play much differently now that we have a kid, and it's not even something that I've given real thought to, and I'm sure she hasn't really as well, because we're just happy, but who knows what the fuck could happen, you know?
Yeah.
We're kind of open just to being cool and married together for a long forever, so, you know.
Don't worry, we're going to check back in next year and see how you're getting on. Now that you have a kid and you managed to prioritize me time for, you know,
imagine
he's
like so many more threesomes.
My kid just holds my hand every time.
My wife met some great women at the breastfeeding group.
My wife and I always said from the beginning, if you're attracted to somebody else, please tell me. Don't do something behind our back. Don't fucking this up. It just never happened on either one of our ends. So, you know, not that I expect it will. Yeah, I hope it never does.
Mike just
grabbed my dick.
Oh, I thought you were touching the wood of his chair. I was like, why don't you touch your own?
Penis.
Yeah, dude, why don't you touch your own, dude? Listen to Katie, dude. Mike and I host a show together, and this is literally...
Oh, you guys do a show together?
Yeah,
this is literally... Not a podcast, a live show.
Oh,
live
stand-up, like a stand-up show, but this is what the beginning of it is.
I know.
Yeah, we do it live, dude. It's so weird.
You have to be here in human form to experience it.
People get offended, dude.
Yeah, if any
one time somebody sent us an email and it said like, and then one of the hosts threatened to suck my husband's dick. It was Mike. Because this guy had a luggage and he wouldn't laugh. And at the end of the show, Mike goes, you either laugh or I'll swear to God I'll come down there and just suck your fucking dick. And the guy still didn't laugh. And the lady sent an angry email thinking she was sending it to the club. She sent it to the show email. So we read it the next one. And it's still the funniest. Someone had to write And then the host threatened to suck my husband's dick.
Yeah, one star.
The fuck, having to write that.
Yeah, that's a prouder moment of my life.
Yeah, that was great.
So you guys got anything to plug?
Just my dates are at MikeCannonComedy.com.
Yeah, none of these Irish people are going to your dates. Yeah. Anything
well,
else?
I'd like to go to Ireland to perform.
But you have
that
a podcast.
Is, and I have a podcast.
Oh, so yeah, performing in Ireland.
Called the Irish Goodbye Podcast.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. It's all about, like, you know, booze and stories and, you know, it, Irish goodbying. We literally leave every episode on an Irish goodbye. It's me and
what is an Irish goodbye? Because there's so many, like, there's so many variations of the Irish goodbye.
It's leaving without notifying anybody.
Yeah, which is actually officially the Irish exit.
Is that right?
Because growing up to me, the Irish goodbye was
Irish
the never-ending goodbye.
Yeah.
The Irish goodbye is like it never ends.
So I know the exact same thing you know, and every time I would bring him up to stage and I was hosting, I'd say the Irish exit, and he'd be like, it's the Irish goodbye, and I'm like, it's well, not the right thing, but
hey,
whatever.
Sometimes you get things wrong, and then you have a brand forever.
All these things are bullshit. Everything I've ever discovered that Irish people said was Irish, every culture is like, oh, you know, the Italians have the guilt.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Everybody's got guilt. Everybody's so angry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, at I Am Mike Cannon on all social media and Irish Goodbye Podcast.
But the Irish Goodbye Podcast.
Yeah.
If you guys like soccer, I have a podcast called The Cooligans.
That's
Cooligans. Up you Bows or Bows. Shouts to the Bohemians.
Whoa,
out there
watch
in Dublin.
Out. Bows.
Bows, that's it. Got a jersey and everything. That's my squad. Shouts to Gary Doyle.
So you have a, like, is it focused on European football or?
We talk everything. We talk everything from, as like, we're very proudly American and we love American soccer. So we talk about it all, but we mainly talk about it, like, not from an American perspective. We talk about it. It's two Latinos from America talking soccer. We're both comedians. It's amazing. We just hosted the Champions League final in Queens, your hometown.
What's the MLS? What's your MLS team?
We're both season ticket holders to NYCFC, the team that plays the Yankee Stadium. If you ever want to come to a game, let me know. For you, Katie.
Cool.
Mike will never come.
I'll try to get you on the second captain's podcast because they like talking American sports.
Oh, really?
Sometimes.
Yeah, let's get it. So, yeah, check out The Cooligans. It's the gulliest soccer podcast in the world. And what else? Oh, yeah, just go to...
What's your Instagrams?
At NotAlexis for everything. NotAlexis.
At I Am Mike Cannon for everything.
That's I Am Mike Cannon for everything.com.
Well, at... You want to just remind everybody of yours?
Oh, also, hold on. One more shout out to Clare County Jam Shop. You're the greatest.
Aww.
Shouts to Vera.
Clare County. It's a real American way of saying it.
Clare County.
Clare County.
How are you supposed to say it?
County Clare.
Yes, nailed
it. It's called Clare County Jam Shop.
Oh, is it?
Yeah,
I take it back. My apologies.
From, and we played them, and he like broke his hand before the game by punching the ground. He was so fired up, and we beat the piss out of them going over there. It was fucking awesome. We got into a fist fight every single game.
In Gaelic football, Park? Yeah,
in Ireland.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Every single game, and they almost always started with a headbutt.
Hilarious.
Every fight
I always
started.
Found that the American Gaelic football was more violent than the Irish Gaelic.
Yeah,
football.
It's a little more violent.
Always fights.
Well, because we use our shoulders more and go straight for hits as opposed to wielding people off.
We use our elbows. Yeah. That was the first thing my dad taught me for Gaelic football is how to use your elbow, and now I use it walking down the streets in New York.
Hilarious. And the one thing I learned for Gaelic football that they had in Ireland that they did not have in the States is every time you would solo or try to punt a pass, they would go cleats up at your shin to just like nick your shin a little bit. So they wouldn't go full kick at your shin, but they'd try to nick down with the toe of their foot right as your leg.
It's like
so
South American soccer. It's the best.
You gotta go, she said a mall. Sorry, I played Gaelic football and the girl talked. So you gotta go down in the ball. You can't be fucking putting the leg out.
My first soccer coach was this Chilean dude who was on work release from jail. And he was like,
all your fucking stories have like a crime related.
Yeah, well, I grew up in Newark, buddy. I didn't grow up in Queens.
I grew up in Queens. And if
I didn't grow up in safe ass Queens, dog. I grew up in Newark.
The safe ass part of Queens.
Yeah. And it's pronounced N-O-R-K. But yo, so he was like, if you ever tackle someone, you're both on the ground, he's like, just take your nails and rip out a chunk of his inner thigh. I'm like, no.
Jesus.
Yeah, he was crazy.
Yikes.
It was pretty great.
So anyway, it's at Katie Boyle Comic.
Yeah. That's it.
I'm at Des Bishop. So thanks everyone for listening. Katie's away next week, so we've actually already recorded an ep. So we'll be talking about period sex and other sort of, I don't want to say embarrassing. We do embarrassing sex stories, but I don't want to suggest that period sex is an embarrassment. So it's kind of like some of the awkward stuff you have to deal with sex sometimes, and then one or two embarrassing sex stories. And then I may or may not throw on as a little extra a chat I had with my buddy in Vegas, Asher Trelevin, who I've just been buddies with a long time. He's quite adventurous sexually, and we've always had great chats about sex, and he's always been quite informative. So I might just chuck that on at the end of myself and Katie's ep next week, because I just kind of recorded it for the crack. So it's really surplus to requirement. So be a long ep, a little bonus footage next week, so stay tuned for that. If anybody has any embarrassing sex stories they want to share, do share. Contact theshift@gmail.com or at Des Bishop, at Katie Boyle Comic. Share with us. And even though Katie's away, I'll tack it on at the end in these intros and outros. Nothing's set in stone. So also, please, if you haven't already, give us 5 stars on iTunes. We're on Spotify now. If people were waiting for that, and some maybe people don't know, spread the word. We're on Spotify. And really, that's it. You know, thank you so much. We love more feedback, and do spread the word. Spread the word in any way that you can. You know, spread the word on Snapchat, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Tell people about the podcast, that you're having a good time here. Some people are learning. Some people are having a laugh. Some people are getting horny. That's totally fine too. Anyway, this is The Shift. See you next week. Chat to you next week.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.